You're listening to KCRW. I'm Matt Gillum. Welcome back to This Week in Weed. A little more than 5 years ago, Californians voted to legalize recreational marijuana. Today, almost 20 states allow recreational reefer, and polls show more than two-thirds of Americans support decriminalizing cannabis. Pot perceptions have drastically changed, but the feds continue to list cannabis as an illicit Schedule I controlled substance. The push to change that continues as new Republican voices join the calls for decriminalization. One GOP representative from South Carolina has put forward a bill looking to do just that. The state's Reform Act could have huge cannabis implications. Here with us to talk about it is Leafly senior editor David Downs. Thanks as always for being with us, David.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Now, Republican South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace is the one who introduced the state's Reform Act. So tell us, what's in her bill?
Well, the big top line item for a lot of people is that it's going to deschedule cannabis. That is, take it off the list of dangerous drugs with no medical use, where cannabis has sat since the 70s. And that really is the primary sin of modern drug policy. And it is certainly strange to be here in 2021 and see a South Carolina Republican representative say, in fact, what, you know, hippies were saying on Haight-Ashbury in the 60s, which is like, marijuana shouldn't be in the scheduled controlled substances list. That, you know, it really speaks to the distance the American voters have gone over the last 50 years from wanting to put cannabis smokers in cages, basically, for their own good and the good of the community, to what we have now, which is an $18 billion adult use industry. Second to the pure descheduling is the state's Reform Act's sort of high freedom, low tax approach to legalization, which is a counterpoint to where Democrats have taken things. The big top line is that the state's Reform Act would have a 3% tax at the federal level on marijuana products. That stands in contrast to Democratic flavors of legalization, which pegged those tax rates at 10 to 25%, tax rates that we've found here in California haven't really been workable for legal cannabis.
Okay, now let's zoom in on the tax aspect of this. Despite legalization in California, I mean, high taxes on cannabis have kept the illicit market flourishing here. This bill from Mace lowballs when it comes to taxation, saying weed should only be subject to a 3% tariff. Do you think that's better for the cannabis market in the long run?
The cannabis market itself is saying it's better for them in the long run. Here in Oakland this last week, a group of minority business owners called Supernova Women held a press conference asking Oakland to lower its 10% gross receipts tax rate on cannabis businesses in that jurisdiction. Los Angeles has a similar 10% gross receipts tax rate that is being pillared by the industry there. When you're dealing with a commodity like cannabis, as the price crashes, a 1, 2, 3, 5, 10% tax rate is literally going to be your profit margin. And so, yeah, the difference between 3% versus 10 or 25% is going to be the difference between a smaller, more closely controlled industry in the hands of a few larger corporations with moneyed interests and potentially a bigger cottage-led industry with some of those smaller owners that need some of those bigger margins.
I mean, you said that you were a bit surprised that this is coming from, you know, a South Carolina Republican. What do you think it means for the future of marijuana now that there is a GOP-backed legalization proposal?
I think we're seeing a new split between basically the industry and the activist wing of cannabis legalization. Now that 70% of Americans support it, there's different flavors that they support. It's clear that the cannabis industry got to Representative Nancy Mace and got a workable proposal in front of her. That stands in contrast to the MORE Act, which is more of a progressive wish list with those high tax rates and a lot of those rules that seem to be coming not from the place of actual people who've been running cannabis businesses. And that's really going to be the tussle that the 21st century is going to be about. What exactly legalization looks like, who benefits, who doesn't, how these rules are crafted, and who's actually going to get through that process.
Should we read the state's Reform Act as the Republican Party sort of more broadly getting on the cannabis legalization train?
It's the next step in the Republicans getting on board. Right after Rep. Mace put out her proposal, the GOP, the state GOP in South Carolina is like, we don't know what you're doing, lady. We are not in favor of this. And so there's a bifurcation among Republicans about whether or not we should have legalization and what it should look like. And then there's a bifurcation among Democrats about whether we'd have legalization and what it should look like. Senator Cory Booker, who is behind the MORE Act, which passed the House already, came out and said that he would not support things like the States Reform Act or the Safe Banking Act, which are milder, more incremental reforms. You know, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party has shown it's ready to make the perfect the enemy of the good with regard to plenty of policies, and that now includes marijuana.
Okay, wait, we got to dive in here, because you said something about the Safe Banking Act. I mean, if now hypothetically here, if the States Reform Act passed, I mean, wouldn't that make the need for the Safe Banking Act a moot point? It would no longer be a Schedule I drug, so banking could go on with it, correct?
Correct. We're dealing with how much reform to do, how fast. The Safe Banking Act is the most incremental reform. It gives the green light to banks to bank legal cannabis dollars versus the MORE Act, which would be the opposite end of the spectrum with its progressive wish list. The States Reform Act falls right in the middle. By descheduling cannabis, you allow interstate commerce. You remove the Internal Revenue Service's onerous 280E tax provision that's holding back most legal cannabis businesses from being profitable. When you undo that descheduling, a number of things shakes loose that have been holding up the ability for legacy operators to transition to the legal market.
All right, quickly, before I let you go, States Reform Act, is it going to gain momentum, and could we be on the brink of a bipartisan effort to decriminalize weed?
I want people to understand that federalism and localism really is greater than the power of Congress to affect these kind of things. By the time Congress decides to legalize cannabis, it'll be a foregone conclusion because it's happened at the state, county, and city level in so many places in America. You know, medical marijuana polls at 90%, and we still can't get any progress on medical marijuana legalization at the Congress level. I mean, clean water and drinking water doesn't even poll at 90%. So, instead of getting sad about the intransigence on Capitol Hill, I want people to be empowered to use localism and federalism to make that decision on Capitol Hill a foregone conclusion in their lifetime.
So you think this is a nice thought, but it's probably not going to go anywhere.
It's, you know, legalization's like knocking over a soda machine. You got to rock it back and forth a few times before that thing goes over.
We've been talking to David Downs. He's the senior editor for Leafly. David, always great to chat with you.
Same, Matt. Take care.